Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman, and we are continuing in our series in Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 6, reminding ourselves that Christ is enough. And in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer is writing to Jewish believers, and he's challenging them to consider Christ, that he is sufficient, that they don't need religion, this Judaistic traditions and rituals that they found themselves battling and warring through, that Christ was enough. And as we continue to read through these verses, in verses 1 and 2, this is what it says. Therefore, holy brothers, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So we see two specific things that we are to consider about Jesus, and they're found in these titles that Jesus has been given, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, what's the significance of Jesus being described in this way? Well, the two descriptions of Jesus correspond beautifully to man's two greatest needs. What are man's two greatest needs? Number one is that we need revelation from God. To know God, we need God to speak to us about who he is. And number two, because that relationship has been severed, we need a way to God. So when Jesus is called the apostle and the high priest, it's telling us that Jesus is the word and the way. That Jesus is the word or the revelation or the message from God and the only way to God. Isn't that beautiful? When he calls Jesus the apostle means the one who is sent. The writer simply here is reaffirming what he's already said in Hebrews 1, verse 2. When he said this, he has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. He's reaffirming that the messenger who he sent as the final revelation to the world is Jesus Christ, his Son. So Jesus is the one sent from God to earth with the revelation of his heavenly calling. But he doesn't stop there. Not only is he the sent one or the word, as John 1 reminds us, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. But he's also the high priest, the one who is the go-between, the one who right now intercedes for us. And not only is he our great high priest, but he's also the perfect sacrifice that paid the price for our sin. He is the only way back to God. So what the writer is saying here, you believers, consider the true significance of Jesus. What is the true significance of Christ? That he is the final word from God and that Jesus is the only way to God. That's the glory of Jesus. So the writer, writing to these Jewish believers, says, I want you to consider that. That it's not about your traditions, it's not about your rituals, it's not about anything, any works that you do. It all comes down to Jesus being the word and the way to God. So what else do we need to consider about him? Well, in verse 2, it says, talking about Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. So not only do we see that he's the word and the way, but we also see that he's greater than Moses. And my first question reading this text is, why Moses? Well, if we remember the audience, we will understand the significance of Moses. Moses was esteemed by the Jews far above any other Jew who ever lived. God miraculously protected him as a baby. God spoke to him face to face. He's the one who saw the very glory of God. He's the one who led them out of Egypt. He's the one who brought them the Ten Commandments. Not only did he bring them the Ten Commandments, but the entire Pentateuch, which lays out everything the Jews did, was written by Moses. Moses gave the plans for the tabernacle, the plans for the Ark of the Covenant, and to the Jew, there's absolutely no question that he was God's man. But the beauty of the way this is written is the writer knows the importance of Moses to the audience. And he's going to say simply this, yes, Moses is great, but Jesus is greater. And the writer's going to communicate this by comparing and contrasting Moses and Jesus. So at the end of verse 2, he's going to compare Moses and raise him up. He says, yes, Moses is faithful, just as Jesus was faithful. And verse 2 in Hebrews 3 is a direct quote from Pentateuch from Numbers chapter 12, when God was speaking. And God says this, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house." That is God speaking, referring to the totality of Moses' leadership and relationship with God. He's described as faithful. And just as Moses was faithful in his calling to God's people, Jesus was faithful to God, his Father, who sent him. So he's really raising Moses up and praising Moses. But now, after lifting up Moses, he is going to contrast and he's going to answer this question. Why is Jesus greater than Moses? And the first reason is found in verses 3 and 4. Because Jesus made Moses. "For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." So why is Jesus worth more than Moses? Because he who built the house is more honor than the house. We understand this. If you've ever gotten to see beautiful buildings, get to travel, I've been to the Mormon Tabernacle, I've been to the Empire State Building, you stand there and you marvel at these buildings. But who should receive the glory? The building or the architect, the one who created, who built it? The building simply reveals the glory of the architect. And that's the truth that's being taught here. Yes, Moses was beautiful and great. However, the one who created him is greater. Jesus is worth much more than Moses because Jesus is the builder of the house. He's the one who made Moses. And this is what we're called to consider. Jesus, the creator, the builder, the architect of all things. He is your apostle and high priest. He is the messenger from God who made a way to God. He is all you need. He's sufficient. And then in verse 4, the writer says this, "For every house is built by somebody. And he who built all things is God." Who did he already say in chapter 1 of Hebrews, who's the creator? It's Jesus. So don't miss what the author is saying here. He's saying that Jesus is God. Jesus is the builder of all things. So not only is he greater than Moses because he made Moses, but he's also greater in verses 5 and 6 because Jesus is a son and Moses is a servant. In verse 5, it says, "And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant." And then in verse 6, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are." Notice the contrast. Moses was a servant in the house of God. Jesus was the son over the house of God. The difference between a servant and a son. The son, by inheritance, owns the house, rules the house, and provides for the house. The servant doesn't own anything. The servant follows the commands of the owner, and the servant receives provision from the master. So you see the contrast between a son and a servant. So Jesus, as the son, is superior to Moses because Jesus owns the house, he rules the house, and provides for the house. Yes, Moses was an amazing servant. A faithful and obedient and a caring servant of God, but he was still a servant. He was not a son. And what's amazing here is as he compares Jesus and Moses in verse 6, the writer wants us to immediately apply this, the superiority of Jesus, to our lives. "But Christ is the son over his own house, whose house we are." We're to personalize that truth. If Jesus is the owner of the house, the ruler of the house, and the provider for the house, who's the house? We are, if we are believers. God's house is not a building, it's not a place, it's you. He owns you, he rules you, he provides for you. What an incredible reality, what an incredible truth to consider about Jesus. And then at the end of verse 6, he ends with a warning. And the warning is this. If Jesus provides and rules and owns the house, how do you know if you're God's house? How do you know if you're a believer? The end of the verse says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, it's very important we understand that he's writing to believers. This does not mean that we are saved if we hang on till the end, or that somehow we can lose our salvation. That would contradict other passages of Scripture that teach otherwise. So it's not talking about that there's a possibility of losing your salvation. We can neither save ourselves nor keep ourselves saved. The meaning of the end of verse 6 is simply this, that the continuance of something becomes the proof of the reality. Now, as the writer is writing to Jewish believers, obviously we don't know the heart of man. And apparently, while the persecution was going on with these Hebrew people, there were many people who were drifting away. And what the writer wants to point out is that there were people who might have made an outward profession that fell away, and if they fell away, it's proof that they were never converted to begin with. That's the idea that he's communicating here, that the continuance of something becomes the proof of the reality. Some of the people might have been convinced of the gospel and were on the edge of commitment, but never truly trusted. And what the writer is saying here is for those that come right up to the door and never put their faith in Christ, they fall away, which becomes evidence that they never did really receive Christ. We see this throughout the New Testament. In John chapter 8, we see Jesus in his own words as he looked around at all these people following him. And he said, isn't it wonderful that many of you believe? And then he said to them, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. How do we know that we're truly his disciples? Because we live by the word. James 1:22 reminds us that he who looks in the perfect law of liberty continues in it. That is the proof of a true believer, that you are the house of God, that you're in the word and you live by the word and you care about the word and what God tells you in his word. So what does that mean for me? We are reminded that Jesus is our creator, sustainer, owner, ruler, redeemer. He's greater than the prophets, the angels. He's the final word from God, the only way to God, that he owns the house. He rules the house. He provides for the house. So the question is this, if he is all of these things, and he is, then what would Judaism or anything this world has to offer me give me that Jesus cannot? And the answer is nothing, because Jesus is better. Jesus is enough. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope this has been a challenge to your heart. Do you consider Christ? And if you don't, my challenge to you is to start doing it. Make time. Because when you do, the things of earth grow strangely dim. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.